The Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129 presents America This Week, a smart Catholic take on faith and culture with Father Matt Malone and Kerry Weber.
Hi, this is Father Matt Malone, Editor-in-Chief of America, and welcome to America This Week. Filling in for Kerry Weber this week is our Executive Editor, Tim Reedy.
Lovely to be here.
Father Matt.
Thank you very much. Terrific to have you here, too. And we are talking this week about a huge story. You know, Pope Francis has really rocked the Catholic world, I think it's safe to say, over the last year and a half. And with his kind of revolution of gestures and his pastoral approach and his emphasis on mercy. And now within the context of that quiet revolution, as it were, we are going to have next month the Synod of Bishops on the Family meeting in Rome. And this week we're going to be talking about exactly what that means, what a synod is, first of all, for those who may not know. And what we can expect, because I think you'd agree, the expectations have been all over the map.
Right, exactly. I mean, I think people have been looking forward to this synod as kind of a major event in the pontificate of Pope Francis, and expectations are very high. So how do we manage those? How do we understand what the process is? That's what we're going to talk about today.
Right. And joining us for that conversation is going to be Father Tom Rozica of Salt and Light Media in Toronto, Canada, and sometimes spokesperson for the Vatican.
Yes, he's all over the place.
Yeah. In fact, I think he's going to be working for the Synod next month, assisting Father Rozica, with who is the papal spokesperson with English language media reports.
Yeah, he can really give us the inside story because he knows all the players. He'll give us a lot of insight into the process.
So we are talking to Tom Rozica this hour. And Tim, tell us a little bit about him.
Sure. Well, Father Thomas Rozica, as you mentioned, of Salt and Light TV, is a priest of the Congregation of St. Basil, so the Basilian Fathers. He was born in 1959 in Rochester, New York. He holds advanced degrees in theology and sacred scripture from Regis College in the Toronto School of Theology and the Pontifical Biblical Institute in Rome. Of his many titles, Father Rozica was appointed by the Vatican as the English-speaking media attaché, as you were saying, of the Synod of Bishops at the Vatican that focused on the Word of God in the life and mission of the Church. He has received prestigious awards from the government of Italy, the State of Italy, Queen Elizabeth, and Pope John Paul II. And we are happy to have him here to speak with us about the Synod on the Family.
Father Tom, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It's good to hear from you and be with you.
Yeah. Where are you right now?
I'm in Windsor, Ontario. One of my other little jobs is I'm president of our Catholic University here in Windsor. So we're here for a chaplaincy meeting and some meetings with our staff over the next 2 days. And I'll go back to Toronto and to Rome on Saturday.
You have more hats than a haberdasher.
It's exactly right, and I still have my own hair, so that's good.
So thank you for joining us to talk about the Synod on the Family. And you are going to be in Rome helping the media cover this event. I wonder if we could start out. For our listeners who don't know, what is a synod?
Well, the best way to describe it to the ordinary listener is this is a high-level meeting of our CEO, if you will, namely the Pope, who calls together, in this particular case, an extraordinary synod. In other words, a sounding board. This synod is going to be the heads of all the episcopal conferences of the world, about 14 couples, married couples, and some members of the Roman Curia. And it's to test out some ideas and to really forge an agenda. And the agenda is for the big synod, which will take place in October 2015, to really deal with the issues of the family. It's the church entering the modern world and facing the reality of families, not the families that we would like to be or the families that we wish were, but the reality of families right now. What are the challenges that families face? And also, inevitably, when you talk about families, it's also to talk about marriage.
Right.
Marriage is under siege in many different places, and this synod is going to really try to deal with the beauty of marriage, its importance, and how the future of humanity passes through marriage and the family.
Right. And you raise an interesting point, Father Tom. The synod that's taking place next month is the first of two parts, right? And I'm not sure that a lot of people understand that.
No, I think, you know, right now I'm Father Lombardi's assistant for the synod, so I'm dealing with basically the English-speaking world. And the expectations of media, not only English media, are incredible. They think that the day after the synod is over, that all church teaching will change.
Right.
This is an extraordinary synod. Normally, synods are every 4 years. This is a preparatory synod. There have been preparatory synods like this in the past, I think only two. But this particular one has been called in the context of a big arc.
Right.
And if you want to see the preparatory period this past year, this synod to really forge the agenda, and then next year we're going to have the World Meeting of Families in Philadelphia, followed by the regular synod. And at that synod, there'll probably be over 400 people, elected members of Episcopal conferences. It's important to recognize that synods are not legislative groups. This is not the
right. It's
the
not a meeting
House
of Congress.
Of Representatives or whatever. This would be more like the Senate. The people coming together to reflect, discern, provide advice to the Pope, and it gives the Pope a really good sampling and sounding board of the issues.
Now, so if it's not, there's not going to be any kind of major changes coming out of this, and you're talking to the English-speaking press, what are you saying to them? What can people expect after this process?
Well, one of the things, I'm dealing with the press every day, especially the past 8 months, and letting them know, first of all, this synod is surfacing the topics. We had a questionnaire that was sent out last September to the Episcopal conferences of the world, to the Catholics of the world, and there was a fairly good response indicating that we've got some work to do. We grapple with the issues, we name the challenges, and this synod is going to look at those challenges head on. There's been a document sent out a couple weeks ago called the Instrumentum Laboris, basically a working document that's nothing more than a compilation, a lot of those responses. Some say it's disjointed or whatever. Well, the responses came from all over the world. What it helps us to do as the church is to realize that the complex reality of family and marriage is not just a North American situation, a Canadian situation, a South American, but it's the whole world. So our issues are not necessarily the same as the bishops of Africa or the bishops of Asia.
Right.
Our issues are not the same of massive persecution taking place of Christians right now in the Middle East. So we're going to look at the whole picture, and hopefully one of the goals I've been telling the media is, rather than look for instant results, let's look at how the church is willing to face the questions head on with maturity and with honesty.
Right, right. And, you know, one of the things that, as you point out, I mean, this is the church is a global church, and the family is obviously a universal phenomenon. But the challenges that people face are different in different parts of the world. And we, I think in the United States, maybe this is true to some extent in Canada, you can tell us, but we tend to filter everything as Americans through our own experience. And, you know, we think that a global synod is going to be discussing the issues that are really of direct concern to us. But there's a lot on the agenda, isn't there?
There certainly is. You know, there's a funny moment in April as I was leaving the canonization of John Paul II and John the 23rd. I was at the airport in Rome to come back. And one of my great friends is one of the cardinals in Africa who was also at the canonization. So we met at the airport in Rome, and he teased me, French-speaking, and he said, Mamma mia, I said, mon Dieu, you people, all you're concerned with is communion and the divorce.
Right,
he said,
right,
that's
right.
An important thing. He said, but my problem is polygamy. How are we going to address it? We both had a great laugh, and we toasted
right.
each other with a cappuccino that morning.
Right. Fair enough, right? Fair enough, because certainly in the English-speaking press in the West, the focus has been on the discipline around divorce and remarried and communion. And for our listeners who may be unfamiliar, if you are divorced, if you have a sacramental marriage and then you receive a secular divorce and you then remarry, the discipline in the church traditionally has been that you should not take part in the sacraments, going to communion, receiving absolution, and so forth. And there is now a conversation going on at multiple levels about whether we should adjust that discipline in light of the pastoral reality. Is that something that people are talking about, too, in Canada, Father?
Oh, I would say that the issues of the United States are very much the issues in Canada.
Yeah.
We have some difference in terms of the practice of faith and marriage, for example, in the province of Quebec. You know, one of the big issues we have to face is the number of people choosing not to get married and not to have families.
Right.
Or to form families outside of marriage.
Right, right.
So those are very legitimate realities. Another very interesting thing is the approach, or what would you call the template, that Pope Francis is placing over this synod to deal with these issues honestly, faithful to the tradition, but also with great mercy.
Right.
A lot of people are writing off this mercy thing as it's some kind of cheap grace.
Right.
Actually, it takes much more energy and strength to be merciful and kind than it does to be harsh.
Indeed it does. You are listening to America This Week on Sirius XM, the Catholic Channel, 129. When we come back, we are going to take calls from listeners and about the Synod on the Family. What are your expectations for this conversation among the world's bishops and others for the church and the family? What are the challenges that you are facing? What would you like this synod to address?
And before we take questions, Father Tom, I think one issue that probably some Catholics find disconcerting is that there's been some public conversation about this notion of mercy and how to deal specifically with divorced and remarried Catholics between some very high-ranking cardinals. How do you explain that, you know, that this conversation is happening in this way?
How do I explain it? Well, first of all, it's a sign of a mature church and also a pope who's open to listening to varying opinions. One could never say that the lid is on this synod and we're all told to speak in the same way. The other way to look at it is we take these issues with extreme seriousness. And yes, it is interesting that a book came out last Monday published by Ignatius Press with trying to set up, I mean, it was a great media stunt to pull something like that 2 weeks before the synod, five cardinals and five theologians. What people don't realize is some of the essays that appeared there had been out for a long time. They weren't especially commissioned to take on Cardinal Casper or take on the Pope. They were compiled and released at a prestigious and appropriate moment in some people's minds. Nevertheless, it shows that we're talking about these issues and taking them very seriously. The last thing that Pope Francis wants to see is cardinals pitted against one another or theologians standing up. What he wants to see is we take these issues very seriously. And we're in for some treats, I think, in terms of the dialogue that's going to take place, not in the morning sessions necessarily, because it's going to be presentations of the reports of each of the participants, but the afternoon free sessions when the cardinals and bishops and the lay couples that are there are able to talk about these things. And I'm sure that Pope Francis is going to be listening attentively to these talks.
Father Tom, you mentioned to this high-level conversation that's taking place. This is something kind of new, isn't it? For instance, I know Cardinal Casper has made his views known about the discipline regarding divorced and remarried, and some other cardinals have made their views known and are taking a different position. And it's kind of unusual for that conversation to be taking place in such a public way, wouldn't you say?
Recent history, yes, it's kind of unusual. It has taken place in the past over numerous issues and, you know, different parts and different moments of the pontificate of John Paul II. Also, the time around synods is a time for people to gather together and speak seriously. When you situate the synod in its historical context, what was the synod? It was carrying on that spirit of fraternal dialogue, of concern, of issues, and also of hope for the future that was at Vatican II. And so, yes, in recent history, it does seem a bit odd. It also is interesting to see how the media, especially some Catholic media, are portraying this. This is by no means, you know, the soldiers lining up and the arms
right,
being taken
right.
up. Some would like it to be that. I mean, I've had people tell me.
It makes for a good story, right?
Yeah, they said, do you have protection when you're going into the synod hall, or is there bulletproof glass that you're sitting under and whatever? And I said, no, actually, it's quite a moving experience to be in the synod hall because it is the church alive, really, and it's people willing to dialogue and talk about things with honesty and integrity.
That's right, and I think what you said is absolutely crucial here. It's a sign of the church's maturity and the fact that we really believe that, you know, our discernment is guided by the Holy Spirit, and we need not be afraid of having conversation with one another in which we disagree, particularly about matters that are not dogmatic but are matters of prudential judgment.
And I think when you look at the issue, they're probably not as far apart as some people are portraying it. I mean, as
right.
we point out in our editorial, when you look at what Cardinal Casper is actually calling for, as you were saying, Father Tom, it's not any kind of cheap grace. It's under very specific circumstances to, you know, at least revisit the question.
Only somebody of Cardinal Casper's experience and stature and age and wisdom and kavod, as they say, would be able to launch this whole thing. A younger cardinal or a younger bishop, even somebody who's still active and, you know, running a diocese, would not have the same import. But anybody with brains would realize that Walter Kasper is a truly great theologian who's lived the Second Vatican Council, who's been an eminent teacher, and who's also very much in touch with the suffering of people today.
Yes.
He's not asking for, throw the church teaching out the window. He's saying, look, if we take this seriously, we have to present this in the best possible way for people to understand it. And we also have to be aware that if many people are not following the church teaching, it doesn't mean that they've thrown it out holus bolus, but many have never had it presented to them in all of its beauty. And so I think that one of the things we're going to see coming out of the Synod, obviously there's going to be a whole thing on annulments. We've seen that now in place, a new commission to set up and to study the annulment process. But we're also going to see a greater desire to teach with clarity and simplicity. Mm-hmm. And Francis has said very clearly, one of the enemies of dialogue is monologue. He even calls it diabolical,
Diabolos. Right, right.
And for those who choose to live in monologue and to be spoken to or shouted at, one has to wonder what the motivating force is behind that. I think Francis really wants the work of unity to be at work here.
I think that's right. You're listening to America This Week on Sirius XM, the Catholic Channel, 129. You can join the conversation at 1-888-322-8465. What are your expectations for this upcoming Synod on the Family? We are joined by Father Tom Rozica, who is of Salt and Light Media in Toronto. And we have a tweet. Father Tom, this tweeter asks, what can we say about the Pope's expectations for this synod, given the act of marrying those 20 very diverse couples just a couple of weeks ago?
Well, there was a lot of hoopla made about those couples, but anybody with any sort of pastoral blood or reality would realize that what the Pope did is simply reflecting what many of us priests do in our parishes. The fact that those 20 couples, through their parishes in the Diocese of Rome, made it known that they would like their marriage blessed, or they'd like to enter into marriage for the first time, or they'd like a situation that's gone awry to be blessed and, we say, convalidated, that's a celebration. That's cause for celebration. For those who said this is shocking and the Pope is undoing this, or the Pope learned how to do mass wedding ceremonies in Korea 2 weeks before that.
Right.
I just kind of laughed and said, what planet are you living on? As a pastor, I was chaplain of the university parish. I worked in parishes. And when somebody comes forward and wants to take marriage seriously and they don't have any serious impediments, that's worth celebrating.
Sure.
And convalidating means let's take what was there imperfectly and let's present this to God in a beautiful way. So thank God the Pope was showing us, folks, I'm not doing anything new here. I'm doing what tons of pastors and bishops have done, and I'm showing that they, too, have to be looked after. Marriage is not the entry into perfection of the perfect, but it's rather the invitation to try to draw closer to God and to let God be part of that union.
Well, the third person in this conversation, the one who's actually married, just giggled when you made that comment.
Far from it.
Okay? I hope I didn't scandalize you.
No. I think it was a knowing giggle. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, the notion that any marriage is perfect is worth laughing about. But the beauty of it is certainly something that was really, as somebody who's married, to watch that was really, it was a moment of great, as you say, beauty, just to see that happening and to see the Pope opening his arms to these families and say, welcome, just come, let's just open the doors. And
the more I see Francis at work, I said, God gave us a pastor.
Yeah. Yes.
The wonderful new Archbishop of Chicago said something very beautiful on the weekend when all kinds of people were, asking him, what message is the Pope sending to America? He said, the Pope didn't send a message. He's sending a bishop.
Right.
And I think that's it. This synod is going to send out pastors with a renewed energy to reach out, especially to those whose lives we've often said are imperfect, they don't fit.
Right.
The Pope is showing us that we have to make room because that's what it means to be Catholic.
And we've seen time and again he's willing to live with a certain amount of messiness. I mean, he says that word. I mean, that's okay with him, that everything doesn't always have to fall between the lines. That's obviously always the goal, to reach those, to reach the ideal. But he's okay with us not always getting it right the first time around.
That's exactly right.
And, I think that that's a very Ignatian approach. You know,
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. I mean, because St. Ignatius, the founder of the Jesuits, and we have a spirituality that bears his name, Ignatian spirituality, and the Pope is a practitioner of that. And one of the characteristics of Ignatian spirituality is, you know, the art of decision-making, the art of discernment. And you frequently can come to clarity about choices, but you have to first be comfortable with the messiness of the world, with its complexities. And I think that is Pope Francis to me. I think he has a very clear vision, a pastoral vision. He has very clear priorities, but he's comfortable in the morally turbid world in which we live, and wishes to see his vision, a vision in which many people share, realized in the midst of that messiness, rather than something that's kind of imposed on it.
You know, I don't know if the Jesuits, the Supreme Court of the Jesuits or the high authorities have an award that they give out to those who market the exercise in the best way. But Francis would get the golden prize because I've never seen somebody who's taken the essence of the Jesuit exercises and given them to people. You know, the way he preaches.
Right.
Palm Sunday last year, look at these figures in the scripture.
Right.
Look what they're doing. Are you in this story? Who are you in the story? Look at this woman who's caught in adultery. Look at this person. And that's what this synod is. Look at these situations. We have the ideals. They're all wonderful ideals to aspire to. We have the goals. We have the manuals. We have the books. We have the beautiful stories. But then we have the human beings that are living these stories out. And Francis is doing exactly that's the beauty of the Ignatius exercises, the beauty of Ignatian interpretation of Scripture. And that's one of the great teaching marks of this Pope.
You have been listening to America This Week from America Magazine in New York. I'm Father Matt Malone, along with Executive Editor Tim Reedy. We were joined this week by Father Tom Rozicka of Salt and Light. If you like what you've been hearing, join us at America. Our website is www.americamagazine.org, where you'll find articles and blogs and videos and other resources. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And to subscribe to America, call 1-800-627-9533. That's 1-800-627-9533. I'm Father Matt Malone. Thank you for listening, and good day from America.